Gulliver's Travels. When the people of Lilliput found out that Gulliver meant them no harm and was a gentle, friendly man, they untied him and set him free.
"But you must turn out your pockets," said the Emperor, "so we know you are not carrying any dangerous weapons."
Gulliver, who could now understand the Lilliput language, emptied his pockets and placed all their contents on the ground. The Emperor was so amazed and so puzzled by what he saw that he allowed all the people of Lilliput to come and see the wonderful objects for themselves.
"Now you must promise to live in peace with everyone in Lilliput," said Emperor Golbasto, "and promise to defend Lilliput against its enemies."
"I'm surprised to hear you have enemies, Your Majesty," said Gulliver politely.
"Oh, yes, we're at war with the people of Blefuscu. Didn't you know? They live on an island far out across the sea."
Standing on tiptoe, Gulliver could see the island. It was not really very far away at all, just separated from Lilliput by a narrow stretch of water. In the shelter of the island's cliffs lay the harbour of Blefuscu, and in it a fleet of 50 mighty warships, no bigger than the toy boats Gulliver had played with as a boy. "Bring me 50 iron bars," said Gulliver, and the people of Lilliput sweated and strained under the weight of 50 girders. They were hardly bigger than pins. Gulliver bent each one in turn into the shape of a fish hook. "Now bring me the strongest rope in the country," he said, and the Lilliputians brought him the fine thread he wanted. Gulliver tied the thread to the fish hooks and waded into the sea. It took him only a few minutes to swim across to Blefuscu. Then, reaching shallow water, Gulliver stood up and waded towards the shore. 30,000 Blefuscan soldiers and sailors were assembled on the beach, ready to invade Lilliput. But the sight of Gulliver rising from the waves struck terror into 30,000 hearts.
"Giganticus!"
they screamed, thinking that Lilliput had found a dreadful giant to fight for them.
"Lillipeepli terriferous gigantico sendigo! Killy us he will!"
And the sailors on the 50 warships jumped overboard and swam for their lives. Soldiers threw down their bows and arrows and fled inland to hide in the mountains of Blefuscu. Gulliver stood in the surf and shook himself. Then he took out his hooks and threads and secured them to the prow of each warship in the harbour. He cut their anchor chains with his penknife, and then, gathering the 50 threads in both hands, he drew the ships out of the harbour and across the channel back to Lilliput. The people of Lilliput cheered themselves hoarse when they saw Gulliver wading ahead of the fleet, the 50 tiny ropes over his shoulder. As he came ashore, they shouted,
"Three cheers for the Man Mountain! He saved Lilliput!"
Gulliver brought the ships safely to the royal harbour and then went to visit the Emperor. "Now tell me," he said, crouching down by the palace, "why is Lilliput at war with Blefuscu?"
"Because they're so wicked,"
said Emperor Golbasto, still dancing with delight at the news of the victory.
"They eat their boiled eggs from the round end. Can you imagine it? A disgusting habit. But now they're beaten, we'll force them to eat their eggs from the pointed end."
Gulliver could hardly believe it. "You went to war about that?" he cried. "If I'd known, I'd never have helped you." Suddenly, he felt very lonely among these people, and he wanted to go home. He felt sorry for the defeated Blefuscans and decided to visit the island and apologize. But when the Emperor Golbasto heard what Gulliver had done, he was furious.
"It's treason,"
he screamed.
"That's what it is. He's a traitor to Lilliput. I'll put him to death, poison his drink, burn down his house. He's probably eating a boiled egg this very minute from the round end."
The Prime Minister pointed out that it was rather useful having a giant around.
"I don't think we ought to kill the Man Mountain, Your Majesty." "All right,"
snapped Golbasto.
"I'll put out his eyes instead."
The court trumpeter was sent to make the announcement. Gulliver had just got back from Blefuscu and was lying in the sun while his clothes dried. The trumpeter stood close to his ear and played a fanfare.
"O foreign and treacherous man, Mountain,"
he read aloud from a scroll,
"the glorious Emperor Golbasto has decided to spare your life."
Gulliver sat up and stared at the herald.
"But because you are a traitor to the nation of Lilliput, the royal archers will shoot out your eyes with their sharpest arrows at noon tomorrow. God save Golbasto!"
Gulliver snatched up his few belongings and ran through the city to the harbour. And there lay Golbasto's own royal galleon, the largest ship in the whole Lilliputian fleet. Packing his jacket, pistol and hat into the galleon, Gulliver pushed it out of the narrow harbour and swam out to sea. Not once did he look back at the shores of Lilliput, and soon he could hear nothing but the sound of the waves rolling round him. After a while, he struggled into the galleon. It was the size of a baby's cradle, and his arms and legs drooped over the side. The wind and the tide carried him across many miles of ocean, and lulled by the gentle movement of the water, Gulliver fell into a deep sleep. Then, from the crow's nest of a merchant ship, a sailor spotted the galleon through his telescope. At first he thought it was a barrel washed overboard, but then he saw Gulliver. Immediately, a rowing boat was lowered to pick him up. Gulliver thanked the captain for rescuing him, and tucking the galleon under his arm, went below to the cabin. For the first time in months, Gulliver would sleep in a proper bed. And each night, on the long journey home, he dined at the captain's table and told him all about his extraordinary adventures in Lilliput.